today on Life Talk.
You're not in a bubble because you're a Christian, but you should be happy that you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. You will be happy and full of joy when Christ shows his glory. When you pass through this thing and a breakthrough comes and you're to the other side, you're going to experience joy and the glory of God because he's the one that's going to get you through it.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
As the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, they learned some lessons the hard way. Unfortunately, they were not teachable and they often provoked God's displeasure. But the good news is, we're told by the Apostle Paul, quote, "These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age." So even though God's people failed miserably in their own wilderness experience, that is not to be our own story. We can learn from their mistakes through the teaching of the Word of God. And you know, one of the most painful things they experienced was betrayal. And I have to say, this tough lesson came Moses and Aaron's way more than anybody else's. These two top leaders of the wilderness journey were turned against and attacked over and over again. They had to learn to deal with betrayal repeatedly. I think this is one of the hardest lessons to learn, but one that God can walk us through victoriously. So let's go right to the message entitled, "The Wilderness of Betrayal," and see what we can learn.
Now, we've been talking about wilderness experiences because we go through wilderness experiences. And we need to understand that it's part and parcel of the Christian life. It's not something you ought to be going through all the time. You ought not always be in a wilderness, but we do experience wildernesses. And we've covered several in the last few weeks. And I'm going to talk today about one that, boy, we've really walked through personally, and that's the wilderness of betrayal. There's not a person in this room that hasn't experienced the sting of betrayal somewhere along the way. Some of you are bleeding inside today because you've been betrayed. You've been wronged. Somebody did you dirty. Somebody you didn't expect. And so we want to just read three passages out of the Bible about three different people that experienced betrayal. And then I'm going to focus on Joseph. But let's read Numbers 12, verse 1. And here it is, Numbers 12, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, go quickly to Genesis and take a right, and you'll be there quickly. Numbers 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses behind his back because of the Cushite wife. Now, the deal was, is this was a dark-skinned woman. And Moses' siblings, Aaron and Miriam, criticized him for it. And it shows you whose side God was on real quick, because Miriam was made leprous for attacking their brother. But the idea is, it was a betrayal. Now, Luke 22, verse 48. And Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" We call that the Judas kiss. Genesis 37, 28. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelite slave traders for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph in the Bible is a type of Christ. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus sold for 30 pieces. In these three verses, we have three Bible luminaries, all of whom experienced betrayal, bitter betrayal, tough betrayal. Moses, betrayed by Miriam and Aaron. They broke ranks and attacked him when all of Israel had been attacking them, but at least he always had Aaron and Miriam. But now they're attacking him and they betrayed his trust. And then, of course, Jesus, betrayed by a man who he had loved, walked with, taught, who had been there to see all of his miracles, who he had poured his heart out to, Judas Iscariot. And Judas betrayed him, of all things, with a kiss. He told the Roman soldiers, "The one that I go up and kiss, that's the one you arrest." And so Jesus, full of pathos, says to Judas, "Do you betray me? Really? With a kiss?" That's the idea. And then, of course, Joseph. Nobody was betrayed like Joseph in the sense that as many times. He was betrayed not once, not twice, but repeatedly, several times. And so I'm going to talk more about Joseph in just a moment. I love that story. I can't ever read the story of Joseph from stem to stern without weeping at the end of the story, no matter how many times I've read it. It's such a moving account of God's sovereign operation in the life of a man. But now, we have been talking about wildernesses. We've talked about the wilderness of want, the wilderness of loneliness, and the wilderness of trouble last week. Talked about trouble. But today, the wilderness experience of betrayal. Let me remind you of what a wilderness is. A wilderness is essentially those times in our life when we feel dry, we feel like God's a million miles away, though he's not, it feels that way, and we feel very dry. It's a dry time we're passing through, and suddenly our faith seems to be getting tested from every side. Seems like all that's around us is testing, and that beautiful mountaintop experience of blessing and just sort of cruising on grace doesn't seem to be there, but suddenly it's shadows and difficulties and challenges and attack and dryness and betrayals. Betrayals. Wilderness experiences were very common to people in the Old and New Testaments. You can't read either covenant and not find people who are experiencing a wilderness time, dry time, difficult time. Peter encouraged the Christians. This is one of my favorite passages. Peter said, "My friends, don't be surprised at the painful things that you are now suffering, which are testing your faith. Don't think that something strange is happening to you. It's not weird. That this is not something you should be shielded from. You're not in a bubble because you're a Christian, but you should be happy that you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. You will be happy and full of joy when Christ shows his glory. When you pass through this thing and a breakthrough comes and you're to the other side, you're going to experience joy and the glory of God because he's the one that's going to get you through it." Now, today I want to talk to you about that wilderness of betrayal. Nothing, in my humble opinion, nothing stings, shocks, casts us into a wilderness place like betrayal. There's nothing quite like betrayal. A trusted loved one that you just knew was, that loved you and was with you and standing by you, suddenly turns on you and you discover they've betrayed you, they've stabbed you in the back, and it is a hot dagger that goes all the way through your soul to the other side. That person you place your total trust in has delivered a Judas kiss to you, betrayed your confidence, talked behind your back. You discover that they weren't really with you at all, or they took you for granted, and you feel like a fool. You say to yourself, "How in the world did I ever believe in them? How was I so easily tricked? How didn't I see it? Where was my discernment? How didn't I catch it? How could I have been so stupidly blind, so trusting, so lacking in just catching on to somebody's character?" And so you beat yourself up over it and it wounds you. And the natural inclination is to pull inside and withdraw and say this to yourself. You make a covenant with yourself, and it's a dangerous covenant. Here's the covenant you make. You say, "Never again. Never again will I love. Never again will I trust. Never again will I be involved in a local church. I may go and sit in the sidelines and sit in the periphery and sit in the back." I'm not pointing to those of you in the back. I'm just saying you're peripheral, and you say to yourself, it's a covenant you make with yourself, "I will never put my heart on the chopping block again. I will never be somebody's fool again." And you know what? That covenant can come back to bite you, because our God will always say, "Trust again, love again, do it again, because you can trust me, though you may not always be able to trust people. You can trust me." So we can never let what someone else does to us sideline us and deter us from the will of God. In Shakespeare's famous play called Julius Caesar, the moment arrives when a number of assassins have attacked Caesar. And while they're stabbing Caesar to death, he sees amongst them his dear friend and protege, Marcus Brutus. And he falls dying to the ground and utters these words that have now become famous, "Et tu, Brute?" That's Latin. et tu, Brute, meaning you too, Brutus? You? My friend? My protege? The one I trusted? The one I poured into? The one I've loved? The one that I ate with? The one that I went to the house of God with? You? You're the one? You're involved in this? You've betrayed me? Et tu, Brute, has become a common word, a common phrase, all the way into our day, for the betrayal by an unexpected person like a friend. If you've been betrayed by somebody today, if you have, you know it. It's stinging. If you've been abandoned by your family, many have. I've spoken to people recently who were abandoned by their family. Are you a victim of false accusations of some kind or another? Somebody's lied about you, told a story about you, slandered you, and it's a betrayal? I doubt that there's hardly anybody here today that hasn't been betrayed, either in the past or you're experiencing the hurt and the pain of it right now. This is real. This is something that if we don't get through it, we won't get over it, around it, or under it. We've got to go through it. The only way through a valley is through the valley. That's the only way to get to the other side, is to go through it. So the question is, not have you been betrayed, but how do you navigate the stormy waters of betrayal to continue your spiritual journey unfettered, unhindered, continue your pursuit of God without being sidelined by that pain of betrayal? Because there are people who are not in church today, I'm just talking about in general, nationwide, worldwide, who are hurt in church, hurt by a person, betrayed by a believer, betrayed by a spouse, betrayed by a friend, and they have withdrawn from life and withdrawn into the shadows because they made that covenant, not me, not ever again. I will not do it again. And I'm here to preach you out of that if you're in that. Because listen, we serve the one who said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And not only does he raise us from the dead one day out of the grave, but he also raises us up out of inner pain and wounding.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Nobody in the Bible gives us the answer to how to navigate betrayal like Joseph, not anybody. I want you to consider the betrayal that Joseph, the patriarch Joseph, experienced. Watch this. As a teenager, he was the victim of resentment, hatred, and bitter rejection by his own family. His own family ostracized him and rejected him openly, his brothers. The Bible says when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. He was later, get this, kidnapped by his own brothers and thrown into a deep, dark, narrow, claustrophobic well. Listen, this is a horrible experience. Sometimes we got to use our sanctified imagination. They dug wells in those days. They didn't have machines. They were narrow wells that went all the way down where they finally tapped water. And the Bible says this about that well. When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his coat of many colors, and they took him and threw him into the abandoned well. The well was empty. There was no water in it. They dropped him down into a narrow well where you couldn't move your arms all the way out. They dropped him down there, and they left him there. As a matter of fact, they walked a few yards away and opened up a sack lunch and began just eating and fellowshipping while little bro was down in the well. Betrayal. But it didn't stop there. He was sold as a slave by those same brothers to the Ishmaelite slave traders. It says in Genesis 37:28. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the well. Now, you know what he was thinking. Oh, praise God, they're pulling me up and this joke is over. But no, it was no joke. They pulled him up out of the well and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. Now, there's a double whammy here. Not only sold into slavery, but his brothers sold him for a cheap 20 pieces of silver. That's all this little guy is worth to us. Take him. Betrayal. Joseph is in the back of this slave caravan being carried away. He's shackled because the Bible tells us in Psalms they shackled him. The Bible says they shackled him. So he's being carried away in the slave caravan, and behind him, looking at him, the cold, stark, expressionless, angry countenance of his brothers. See ya. Betrayal. And then when he gets to Egypt, he's sold as a slave again. Put on the slave block twice. He's sold to an Egyptian named Potiphar. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So he goes into Pharaoh's house. And then the Bible says that Joseph was a good-looking man. The Bible says that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on him, tried to seduce him sexually day by day by day. He resisted till finally she said, "You don't reject me and get away with it." So she lied about him. And the Bible says, when his master, her husband, heard the story, and a story indeed, it was a made-up story, his wife told him, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger and had Joseph thrown into prison for something he did not do. He was there, are you ready? He was there for years on a false charge. Well, he's down there, and two of Pharaoh's servants get thrown down there, the chief baker, the chief butler. Joseph sees their sad countenance. Joseph is trusting God. You sense that his spirit is up. He's not in there playing a violin about how life has treated him wrongly. He has enough of the grace of God on him to focus on somebody else's need. So he goes up to the butler and the baker and he says, "What's the matter with you guys?" "Well, we've been thrown down here," and essentially Joseph helped them. And when they got delivered out of prison, he said, "Now don't forget me. Please remember me when you go before Pharaoh." But the Bible says they forgot Joseph. Betrayed, 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 hated, betrayed, lied about, forgotten. This is the first half of Joseph's life, not a great beginning. If this was a book, this would be a rough book, the first half. But God was writing his book. God was writing his book. The psalmist tells us God sent Joseph to Egypt. Can everybody say sovereignty? Can you say with me, God's in charge, even when it looks like he's not? What I notice is amazing about Joseph. He didn't withdraw into a cave of self-pity. He didn't go find a group of whiners to throw whining parties with. He didn't let these things destroy his life, or even more amazingly, his faith. His faith was not destroyed by these things. Because I learned a long time ago, the devil's not out to make something go bump in the night or give you a flat tire. The devil is out for your faith. If he can get your faith, will you finally say, "I don't believe in God anymore, his goodness anymore, his protection anymore," and you walk away? That's what he was after. And you think he doesn't use betrayal to try to get into our life and affect us that way? If the devil can't defeat you, he'll defeat somebody whose defeat defeats you. Remember that. If he can't get at you, he'll get at somebody close to you, and maybe that somebody close to you betrays you. And the devil knows if I can get to them, I'll get to him because they love them. That's right. Now we know that he more than conquered betrayal by what he named his two children. Let me just look at this real quickly. I love what he named his kids. It says in Genesis 41:51, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, meaning to forget. "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Now, he's not saying God gave me amnesia. I can't remember my brothers. I can't remember my daddy. He said, "The sting is gone. The pain is gone. I don't live in the world of rewind. I'm not constantly hitting playback in the theater of my mind. I'm not constantly looking at what was done to me. God has taken the sting away. I am free from what was done to me. When I think of my brothers, I don't feel like running and throwing up, or I'm not filled with rage, but I can think about them and I'm fine because my God has made me forget. He has taken away the pain." I love that. So he calls little boy to him, "Come here, forgetful, come here, sit on daddy's lap." "Daddy, why'd you call me forgetful?" "I called you forgetful because God healed my memories from what was done to me." Well, that's good stuff. I'm going to get this CD. I'm going to listen to this on the way down the road. Now, here's the second child. The name of the second one he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You know what he's saying there? In the very place where Satan tried to destroy me, my God prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Right where the devil tried to take me down and take me out, when he went for my jugular and was going for my faith and wanted to wipe me out and ruin my destiny, my God caused me to prosper and succeed and bear fruit right there. Right there. You know, life is like a chess game, and you got the devil moving pieces and God moving pieces, and sometimes it looks like the devil moves the pieces. Uh-oh, it looks like the devil is winning the game. But listen, our God, my God, your God, the God of the Bible, is always the one that says, checkmate. Always. Always. That's why the Bible says God always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of him, says the Lord. Amen. So come here, forgetful. Come here, fruitful. Sit on daddy's lap. I named you those names because of what God did in my life. Amen. So God made him forget the sting of betrayal, and God caused him to be fruitful right where the enemy had tried to destroy him. Now, when I study Joseph's life, there's two keys, and I'm going to just give you two simple keys that Joseph had a grip on, that he had a hold of, that he understood, that carried him through betrayal to the other side, where he became second only to Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. And he avoided becoming an angry, bitter, cynical old man, mad at God, mad at the world, mad at life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to end that way. I want to end with a skip in my step and a smile on my face and with joy in my heart and a song on my lips. I want to go out praising God. I don't want to be bitter and angry. I want to be joyful, and I want to be anointed, and I want to be powerful in God when I go. So, here's the first key. Say with me, he embraced God's grace.
He embraced God's grace.
He embraced God's grace. This is so important. See, anytime we're hurt, when betrayal comes, or anything that is adversarial in our life, when that happens, the invisible hand of the grace of God is always extended to help us. It's that silver lining of grace. It's amazing grace. It is predictable grace. It is loyal grace. It is God's grace. And what is grace? Grace gives you the desire to do and the power to do God's will. Back to the exercising analogy. I've done this. I've worked out at times in my life. Now I cycle, but I did work out for a while. You get on that bench press and you push. And you're pushing a certain amount of weight. Now, you reach a point, you're going to do 10 reps, but you get to about 7. And man, your arms are shaking. You say, I can't. There's no way I'm going to pull 10. And then somebody comes up behind you called a spotter. And the spotter puts his fingers on that bar, and he says, come on, you can do it. And he helps you do what you could never have done on your own. Grace is a spotter. And you say, I can't forgive. There's no way. Look what they did to me. And grace comes and says, come on. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And our job is to respond to the grace. Joseph shows us that no matter what you're going through, there will always be the silver lining of grace. It's there. When you're sick, it's there. When you're defeated, it's there. When you have failed, it's there. When you're struggling with temptation, it's there. When you've been betrayed, it's there. When you're in trouble, it's there. The grace of God. That's why we love Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Even our salvation begins with the spotter. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me and that keeps a wretch like me.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.